Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Life Lessons. I am your host, Carrie Ann Cormier, and today is a very extra special day. Why, you may ask? Well, today our topic is fitting for both the month and life in general. Just a week or so after Valentine's Day, our topic today is on love. How and why to love yourself, what love should feel like, and what it shouldn't feel like, and how to let love in, and lots more. So love, what is love? Well, in the normal sense, we usually use love as a noun. Dictionary.com states love as a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person, a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection as for a parent, child, or friend, a sexual passion or desire, a person toward whom love is felt, beloved person, sweetheart. Everyone has heard that you have to love yourself before someone else can love you. The reason for this is very simple. Our ideal partner is a reflection of us. Not only this, but how are you to love another person if you don't first love yourself? Think about it like this. If you do not love yourself, you would be willing to do things that are possibly very unloving to yourself, your body, your mind, and your soul. Knowing how to love you is one of the most important goals I think each and every one of us should have. Loving thyself is the very central part of your health, your happiness, self-empowerment, and your ability to create and enjoy the kind of life you want. You cannot enjoy happiness if you're not at peace with yourself. Your relationship with yourself is the most important one you're ever going to have. From a spiritual point of view, it is by turning your awareness inward to yourself that you're able to practice your connection with life, with God, and all that is. From the human point of view, every connection you have with someone else will exactly mirror one or more aspects of the relationship you have with yourself. So in essence, if you do not respect your body and love your body, you may subconsciously attract and allow someone into your world that also does not respect and love your body. The effects of not having self-love are detrimental to all aspects of the you that is. In the smallest amount, you're weighed down by indecision, self-doubt, and in much more intense cases, without having self-love, there is depression and self-hatred, which cripples you in every area of your life. Until you know how to love yourself, there will be a personal war going on that divides your liveliness and sabotages your every effort to move towards happiness. Beyond this, if you're deficient in your own love, you pull towards you people and conditions that mirror your negative beliefs and feelings about yourself. This is what we know as the law of attraction. The law of attraction, or law of resonance, as some people put it, draws to us the manifestations of what we feel and what we think. So in order for you to attract loving people and conditions, you need to know how to love yourself first. So think about it for a second. Do you have love for yourself? Do you look in the mirror and love yourself? Do you tell yourself that you are smart, beautiful, charismatic? Or do you say things like, there is something wrong with me. I'm bad. I'm ugly. I'm incompetent. I'm not good, smart, attractive, rich enough. I'm not as good as or as successful as that other person. I'll never get that job or that promotion. I'll never be able to do this. I don't have what it takes. The fundamental root of most of this negative self-talk can be long-held beliefs about yourself that are not even based on reality. They are hangovers from other people's force being projected onto you. People in your world, such as parents, past relationships, siblings, coworkers, bullies from school, and anyone else from your younger years, can contribute to non-reality-based beliefs about yourself. I always say you cannot undo the past, but you can rewrite the future. Ultimately, what I'm saying is you cannot take back things you've been put through, told, or taught. But what you can do is today, make a conscious decision to love yourself. It will not come easy, but bit by bit, little by little, you can ultimately reach the goal of treating yourself and loving yourself with the utmost respect. If you don't, how can you expect anyone else to? So how do you love yourself? What steps can you take? Okay, so some of the tips I'm going to give you are borrowed, have been read in books, learned in seminars, or from friends and family members, and some I've come up with on my own. What I'm listing to here, it works. I've used it myself, and I continue to use it based on the day or the challenges I'm currently facing. So first, every morning when you wake up, and every evening before you go to bed, maybe while you're brushing your teeth, take a look at yourself in the mirror. Look at yourself in the eyes and say, I love you. Yes, I know it sounds silly, and the first few times you will say it, and you'll probably giggle or think, what the heck was she talking about? This is stupid. I promise you it will work. Because the thing is, you cannot lie to your own eyes. After a while, you will believe what you were saying, and that's the beginning of loving yourself. Loving yourself is a decision. You need to make a conscious decision to treat and talk to yourself with love, kind of like a relationship with a partner. You need to treat and talk to them with love. So you need to accept your flaws. I'm a big believer in love or doing. So you either need to love all the aspects of yourself or, if possible, do something about it. Look in the mirror and fall in love with the reflection that is you. Next, you need to eliminate self-criticism. Do you often criticize yourself over the tiniest of things? You need to make a conscious decision to try to eliminate the self-criticism. Next, you need to learn to forgive yourself. Listen, no one's perfect. We all make our mistakes. The difference between a mistake and a perpetual problem is a mistake made is a lesson learned. Learn from your mistakes and do your ultimate best to not make them again. Make positive affirmations daily. They help to rewire any old wiring left behind from your past. So if when you were young, somebody told you you weren't good enough, or they told you you weren't smart, or you weren't beautiful, you need to rewire what was taught to you, what was said to you in your past. An affirmation I used to say as many times a day as I could possibly remember was, I love and respect myself. I am beautiful, I am kind, and I am smart. I said this as many times in a day as I could remember. I had sticky notes in my mirrors. I had sticky notes in my office. So think of an affirmation. It could be just, I love myself. Or maybe it's, I love my body. Or maybe, I respect my mind, body, and my soul. Whatever it is, it's yours to develop and grow as you grow spiritually. Next, you need to have gratitude. Being gracious for what life has given you helps you to avoid getting stuck on the negative life, the negatives in life. Let's face it, life is filled with bumps, mistakes, and other things we'd rather not experience. But quite honestly, that's life. For you, for me, and for everyone else. But it's very easy to get sucked into thinking about all the bad that is happening in your life. Life has three sides, the good, the bad, and the ugly. A good way to begin living more with gratitude is to begin journaling in the evening before going to bed. Write down 2, 3, 4 things that you are gracious for from that day. It could be being alive, your children, a promotion. Maybe it was that yummy pizza you had at lunch. Whatever it is, it's your thing to be gracious about. I think it's why I could never get into journaling as a child or even as an adult, because you end up getting stuck on the crap that happened in the day rather than the good. So I don't do diaries. I did them when I was really young, and to be really honest, they didn't do me much good, because what I found was I was writing about all the bad. I wasn't writing about good. And not all, your day can't be all bad. Something positive has to have come out of your day. So by having a journal solely for the purpose of writing down the good and what you're gracious for, it's something to go to bed with, giving you those positive feelings and emotions to sleep on, attracting those into your day the next day. It also teaches you to love yourself, love your life, and the people who matter around you. Next, you need to nurture your dreams. All too often, people put aside their dreams because of their age, because of their size, or because of the fact maybe they have kids and they're too young. Well, I certainly believe that there's a time and a place for things. I ultimately believe that dreams have been given to you as a gift. Dreams are like goals. We do not know how much longer we have on this earth. So nurture your dreams. Take that skiing trip. Go horseback riding. Or whatever that makes you happy, whatever makes your eyes light up. Nurture your dreams. Lastly, look after your body. Eat properly. Exercise, respect yourself, and try not to have addiction. When you treat your body with kindness, you are ultimately telling yourself you are worth more. You love yourself. So we've discussed why loving yourself is important. Let's touch on what love is not and what love is. So what love is not. Love is not someone abusing you emotionally, mentally, or physically. And this is in all relationships, not just your significant other. Love is not someone pressuring you to do things or acts that you ultimately would not do if not forced or coerced to do. Love is not settling for less than you know you deserve, just because you have a fear that you cannot find someone who will treat you well. Love should not change who you are for the worse. If anything, it should improve you. Love is not thinking that your potential partner is going to fix whatever it is that you don't like about yourself, or vice versa. And finally, love does not need to be difficult, painful, or hard. Okay. So what is love in a relationship? Love is mutual respect. Having the ability to be your authentic self without fear of humiliation or torment from your partner. Does your partner listen when you say you're not comfortable doing something and then back right off? Respect in a relationship means that each person values who the other is and understands and never would challenge the other person's boundaries. Love is trust. Maybe you're chatting it up with a member of the opposite sex and your partner walks by. Or maybe they hear about it from someone else. Do they trust you enough to know it will not lead anywhere? It's okay to get a little jealous sometimes. Jealousy is a natural emotion. But how a person reacts when feeling jealous is what matters. There's no way you can have a healthy relationship if you do not trust each other. On a side note, it is extremely important not to abuse this trust. Trust must be earned and never abused. Love is honesty. This one goes hand in hand with trust, because it's tough to trust someone when one of you is not being honest. Have you ever caught your partner in a lie? For example, your spouse said they had to work late, and you ultimately found that they were at a hockey game. The next time they say they are working late, you will have a lot more trouble believing, and the trust will be on shaky ground. Honesty and trust are the foundation of any and all relationships, way beyond just your significant other. Love is support. It's not only in the good times that your partner should support you. Some people are great when life is all up and up, but when your whole world is falling apart, support is key. In a healthy relationship, your significant other is there with a shoulder to cry on, when you find out your parents are getting a divorce, and they are there to celebrate with you when you get a promotion you have been waiting for. It's both, not one or the other. Love is fairness and equality. In relationships, there is a certain need to have give and take. Do you take turns choosing which new movie to see? As a couple, do you try to take turns doing things each other likes? Are you always expecting one person to pull all the weight in one area, but not willing to do this yourself? Do you have continuous and constant conversation about likes and dislikes and compromising when necessary for the just of your relationship? It's not like you have to keep running count and make sure that things are always even, because they can't. But you'll know when it's gone far enough, and at the end of the day, balance is everything. Things can get bad really fast when a relationship turns into a power struggle, with one person fighting to get his or her way all the time. Love is allowing separate identities. In a healthy relationship, everyone needs to make compromises. But that doesn't mean you should feel like you're losing out on being yourself. And this is why loving yourself first is so important before getting into a committed relationship, or any relationship for that matter. Before getting together, you both had very separate lives. You had lunch with friends on Tuesdays, breakfast with parents on Sundays, different interests, different hobbies. This should not change. Neither of you should have to pretend to like something you don't, or give up seeing your friends, or drop out of activities you love. Compromise is one thing in a relationship, but giving up your identity to conform into a relationship is a recipe for disaster. You or your partner will grow to resent each other because of it. And you should also feel free to keep developing new talents or interests, making new friends, and moving forward. Basically, what I'm saying is you should be able to grow separately while growing together. Hopefully that makes sense. Love is good communication. You know the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus? So you get that they are saying women and men speak a different language. Again, this comes back to loving yourself. Men and women alike are not mind readers. If you have an issue with your spouse, you need to use all the tools I mentioned above to your advantage. You need to trust that you can open up to your partner. You need to be honest with what you are saying. And you need to say these things with love. We've all been there before. What's wrong, honey? Nothing. All the while, she's venting inside and thinks he should know what the heck is wrong with her. Well, maybe he does, and maybe he doesn't. But is it really so hard to just say, you know, earlier, when you said you would be home at 5 p.m. and you were not, that upset me. Clarification is another important aspect. I know in my own relationship, it's very easy for one party to think they've heard everything, but in actuality, they've heard it incorrectly. It is important to ask if you're not sure what he or she means, and speak honestly and openly so that the miscommunication is avoided in the first place. Never keep a feeling bottled up because you're afraid it's not what your significant other wants to hear, or because you worry about sounding silly. And if you need some time to think something through before you're ready to talk about it, the right person will give you some space to think about it. Life has a way of teaching us lessons, some of which we learn from, some of which we don't. I've learned a lot of lessons in life about love, be it with how I love my kids and how they love me back, based on how we communicate or are honest with one another, or in my relationships with coworkers, friends, family, and then, of course, in marriage. These rules or tools I spoke about above were directed to a spouse or significant other, but in actuality, these can be used in any and all relationships you have. Things like trust, communication, honesty, ability to be yourself are all healthy in all relationships. So maybe right now you're not in a relationship. Maybe someone hurt you along the way and you're afraid to let love back in fear of getting hurt again. I cannot stress this enough. Love yourself first. It's not a promise that you will not be hurt again, but it is a guarantee that you will be more specific on who you give your heart away to. So how do you let love in? Giving love is one thing, getting it is another, and an altogether thing. Accepting and taking in support, appreciation, and compliments from others can be very difficult for some people, especially those who have been hurt in the past. However, in non-accepting these, you threaten every relationship you are in. The problem, however, doesn't begin with the relationship. To a certain extent, it has deep roots in early experiences, affecting the very identity of a person so that, as a partner, nothing can penetrate his or her armor. This comes back to self-love. You need to let your walls down. In love, you need to go all in. You cannot half commit to love, or you will lose. Yes, you do risk getting hurt. But on a side note, you also risk losing the best love of your life. You must love first, unconditionally and wholeheartedly. By doing so, you will in turn receive love. Know what you want and ask for it in love. You need to love without keeping score or measure. Do not put limits on your love. Again, love unconditionally. Despite what has happened in your past relationships, love without boundaries. Do not use your past relationship as an excuse in your future relationship. I believe the ultimate way to build a bond with another human being is to share a personal story. It's great for team building in companies, but it's also great in building relationships with your kids, your spouse, and your friends. Sharing that story opens up the floodgates, beginning with honesty, trust, and being your authentic self. You need to open your mind to the possibility of love. Again, this comes back to loving yourself first. I find the biggest issue in relationships, people always blame on trust. But when you dig in deeper, the truth is the root of the problem. This person does not believe that anyone could ever love them wholeheartedly and honestly. You need to open your mind to the possibility that somebody could. Love is one of the greatest gifts we have to give. When you choose to give it away, your heart not only becomes full, but it also begins the healing process from past hurts and pains. You need to practice accepting affection, be it a hug, a kiss, a compliment, whatever. Learn to allow people to love you, bit by bit and little by little. Love is a necessity in life. Children crave it. Adults yearn for it. We all need and want it. It starts at a young age. However, if you were not lucky to receive love and affection while you were young, you need to start giving it to yourself at whatever age you are today. By doing this, you will start the rewiring process to accepting love into your life. Finding love with that special someone, someone you can spend the rest of your life with, to some sounds daunting. To others, it sounds like a perfect fairy tale ending. Whatever your thoughts are on love, existence has put us here to ultimately find it. Well, at least that's what I believe, and in my opinionated fashion. I believe we all have a special love to give, and a certain person has a special love for us. So through my research on love, I found a very interesting and slightly funny topic to chat about. There are certain animals in our world that I believe sum up what love should look like or feel like. I researched this prior to the show, and I found a list of animals that love like we humans should love. The Mother Nature Network online was a great resource for this, and the following is from their website. Gibbons, which is, I believe, a type of monkey. Gibbons are the nearest relatives to humans that mate for life. They form extremely strong pair bonds and exhibit low sexual dimorphism, which means that the males and females of the species are of roughly the equal size, a testament to the fact that both sexes are on a relatively equal footing in their relationships. Swans. Swans form monogamous pair bonds that last for many years, and in some cases, these bonds can last for life. Their loyalty to their mates is so storied that the image of two swans swimming with their necks entwined is the shape of a heart, and has become a nearly universal symbol of love. Bald eagles. They are the national emblem of the United States, and when it comes to maintaining relationships, bald eagles soar much higher than the country they symbolize. Bald eagles typically mate for life, except in the event of their partner's death or impotency, a number far lower than America's divorce rate, which now exceeds 50%. You know, things happen in relationships that cause bumps in the road, However, love is love, and when it's love, it will not be painful. The other person will not harm you, and maybe, just maybe, you'll live like the swans or the eagles. So let's sum up what we've chatted about today, as I'm sure it's a lot to take in. First, you need to love yourself. There is no point on trying to find the man or woman of your dreams if you don't know how to love yourself. You need to be kind to your body and your soul. Do affirmations, remove self-criticism, and look in the mirror and say, I love you. Second, love does not change who you are for the worse. It does not abuse emotional, physical, or mentally. Love does not hurt and does not make you lose your identity. Third, love is kind. It's about trust, honesty, communication, respect, being yourself, and love is about support. Fourth, you need to let love in again. Start by loving yourself, knowing what you want and asking for it, and nothing less, sharing stories about yourself with those you trust, opening your mind to the possibility of love again, and opening your heart. I'm a big movie person and absolutely love movies. I'm one of those really tough-looking on the outside, but on the inside, I'm a true sap when it comes to love. So there's a few movies I really love, and I just wanted to give the labels to you today, tell you a little bit about them very quickly before the end of the show. And if you haven't already seen them, please go see them. So, The Notebook, a story about a teenage love. They split up. He never stops loving her, you know, builds this beautiful home for her, and somehow they find their way back to each other, but she's about to marry another man. And it's one of those true stories about how one person can hide their true feelings because of their upbringing, and how another one can hold on to love full-heartedly. Next, P.S. I Love You. Seriously, what a movie. Gerard Butler is the main character in this movie with Hilary Swank. Anyone who knows me knows I love Gerard Butler. At a very young age, they meet, they get married, but not long after, he dies of a brain tumor. He starts sending letters after he's passed away. It's a beautiful story of how a man loved his wife enough to teach her how to love again. So all in all, you know, love is love. You need to love yourself. You need to let love in. And you need to treat people with love. So it's the basis of your existence, and it just feels good. As always, it's been great being here with you all and sharing some true examples of lessons in life on love. Tune in next week, same time, same place. Our topic next week will be on leadership, and we will have a guest. Have a great day, great weekend, and hope you have lots of love this weekend. Bye-bye.